This is where I wish I could rap, so play along. This is the church, the invitation, the participation, the collaboration, the young and the old, the grown up, the grown bold, the listeners, the learners, dependents and earners, those who went to university, left school at 14 with stress or mess or success in between, those who read The Guardian, The Times, The Stars and Between the Lines, the lovers and haters of Marmite, Mondays, Facebook and Fundies, the inventive, inquisitive, invisible, competitive, 9-to-5ers, shift workers, students, sessional workers, spendthrifts and prudents, those getting by on a living wage, on pensions, on bonus pay, on benefits, financial tensions, computer geeks and technophobes, Luddites, socialites, hermaphrodites, suburbanites, the politically active, inactive, apathetic, engaged in rage or apoplectic, the meditators, agitators, commentators, procrastinators, the bookworms, TV addicts, couch potatoes and gym fanatics, rough it outdoor campers, luxurious glampers, lovers of salmon sandwich hampers or weekend spa pampers, those who pray on the hoof or by the book, who long for proof or need a hook, the left-brainers, right-brainers, lion-tamers, green campaigners, the sprinters, plodders, hobblers and odd-jobbers. This is the church, the invitation, the participation, the collaboration. To be part of the mix is no picnic, no quick fix. To rub each other up the wrong way, but rub shoulders for the long way, together forever in every weather. This is the church, the invitation, the participation, the collaboration. To get things done, to have fun, follow the sun till kingdom come, to be one, to be one, to be one. Is there any other institution in the planet bigger and more diverse and intergenerational than the church? If there is, few of us have heard of it. Yet this reality of being a body of people who are rich in their diversity and wisdom and faith seems often to be more of a problem to us than a cause of celebration. Too often we see diversity as a problem instead of a strength. Back in Paul's time, when the human population was a tiny fraction of the size it is now, they still struggled to cope with the gift of diversity. The letter to the Ephesians takes up this issue that in a culture that we maybe can't relate to very well, but it does relate to us today. Paul's premise is that God has formed a new humanity, bringing us together from different ends of the cultural and political spectrum in order to make us one in Christ. Paul's focus is on Jew and Gentile and the great battle raging in the early church about who was it to be invited into the faith. Paul won that battle and the church became universal. Last week in our service, we were reminded that despite our backgrounds, that at the centre of our faith was Christ, and that in that the lavishness of God's love. His grace excluded no one. Ruth's story displayed for us the inclusiveness of God's love, this destitute foreigner being welcomed into a new community. Paul recognises that such peaceful diversity is how kingdom is shaped. It's not that everyone believes the same or expresses their faith or belonging in an identical way. Jew does not become Gentile and Gentile does not become Jew. Both become one in Christ. The Holy Land that Paul was preaching to is the same Holy Land today that is still not a place of peace, the peace that Paul was teaching about. The early church disagreed about many things, including traditions and biblical interpretation. The example Paul uses is that of male circumcision. But he could easily have used the example of eating food sacrificed to idols, or the fighting over who was to follow Apollos or himself. There was lots of debate in the early church, and there is continued debate today. People within our denomination and across denominations hold well wide-ranging views on a variety of subjects, and often their arguments are biblically based. Our views on particular topics and issues are shaped by the way we were brought up, the words that we have heard preached, the people we mix with, what we read in the newspaper or hear on the news. And strangely often, people we would assume would have the same views as us have diametrically opposed views. In this church, there will be things that we'll all agree on, but lots that we don't. And that is okay. And the differences that we may have might surround how we interpret parts of the Bible. Because we can all read passages from the Bible, and depending on the various lenses that we look at life through, may come to different interpretations. Different interpretations of the same text coming to different conclusions. Now, sadly, over the years, across our country, differences like this have caused people to walk away from their church, sometimes never to darken the door of a church again, or sometimes to go where they feel more comfortable with people who share their views and opinions. And that is okay. I've always thought that the strength of the Church of Scotland was that there was room for a variety of theological positions. We have far more in common than we have that which is different. Because the most important thing is that we have God's love for us and a faith in Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Paul said it is through Christ that all of us, Jews and Gentiles, are able to come in the one Spirit into the presence of the Father. That could easily be reworded to say, it is through Christ that all of us, local or incomer, male or female, young or old, Church of Scotland born and bred or got here via some other denomination or none, gay or straight, are able to come into the one Spirit in the presence of the Father. It's how we do that is the real challenge. How do we ensure that everyone feels welcome into the presence of God? And we do it, I think, by recognising our diversity. And having recognised it is not to see it as a threat, but rather to see it as a strength. The diversity of the Church of Scotland is one of the reasons I love it so much. Yes, there are times when I have been upset by something a colleague or a member has said because I disagreed with them. And I have sat and listened as another Church of Scotland minister preached a sermon that basically said that my marriage to a non-Christian was against God's will. Well, after 30 years, I can honestly say that my marriage to my best friend feels more like a blessing from God than a curse. And God had a funny way of showing his displeasure. He called me into ministry, which for the most part is a real joy, although I would be lying if I said it was never hard. We are a diverse bunch. I look around this church and see a group of individuals, each of you with your own life story to tell, each of you with your own understanding of God, and each of you with your own journey of faith and what it means to have Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And none of those stories, none of those understandings and journeys have any greater value than another. Not one of you is loved more by God than another. Your story, your understanding of God, your journey of faith is yours and yours alone. I cannot tell you what to think. I can give you my insight into what I feel God is saying to me, or I can give you what I conclude from studying the Bible and the context of the text and what it might have to say to our contemporary context, but I cannot and should not tell you what to think or feel. Gone are the days when the preacher would stand here and lambast you with doctrine and theology that woe betide you if you did not accept and adhere to. This is not the world that we live in. It is not the church that we belong to. Instead, we have a much more diverse world and a much more diverse church. And of course, that brings its tensions. I'd be lying if I said anything else. But it also brings its strengths, more strengths than weaknesses, in my view. That we are all different, that we have our own opinions and views, that we have different stories to tell is a strength, because it means we bring different ideas, different skills to the table. Our differences do not weaken us. We can be friends with people we disagree with, can't we? I have colleagues within the Church of Scotland with whom I disagree on certain aspects of doctrine and theology. That doesn't stop me being good friends with them. That doesn't stop me working with them for the betterment of the church and God's kingdom. Indeed, I have been offered support and encouragement from people who are in a very different place on the theological spectrum to where I am. And some of my best friends are people that I profoundly disagree with. I've recently become good friends with someone that not that long ago I would have sat at one side of the room and glowered at him. I know, not very Christian of me. I would have done. But we're now really good friends and confidants, sharing a mutual trust and respect for each other, as well as being able to laugh together. We can disagree without falling out. And guess what? We discovered that we had far more in common than that which we disagreed. And yes, sometimes it means keeping my mouth shut for the betterment of our friendship, and sometimes it does involve me challenging his views. But this can be done in a civil, polite, good-natured way, because harsh words never help any relationship. I often think that if we were all a little bit more thoughtful about how we express our differences and our concerns, if we were a bit kinder with our words, how much easier it would be to get on with folk with whom we disagree or want to challenge. Words can wound, and often it's these wounds that take the longest to heal. And this takes me back nicely to what Paul reminds us of in his letter to the Ephesians, because Paul's letter is a wake-up call to the church, not just the Church of Scotland, but the universal church. His letter is an invitation to get back to basics, to put aside our differences and to remember where our strength comes from, where our unity comes from. Over the next couple of weeks, we will continue to hear Paul's words in his letter to the Ephesians, and we will consider how, as a church, we work together. Next week, we'll consider how to use the gifts that God has given us for the benefit of the church and those that we share the church with. But for now, I leave you with this. We are at our strongest when we stick together despite our differences. When we can recognise that there can be diversity in unity, and that that can be a strong bond held together by God's love and God's indulgent grace. Because our foundations are strong. As Paul said, you too are built upon the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, the cornerstone being Christ Jesus himself. He is the one who holds the whole building together and makes it grow into a sacred temple dedicated to the Lord. In union with him, you too are being built together with all the others into a place where God lives through his Spirit. Amen.